Welcome to the Cosmic Dispatch, a show about bodies, celestial and earthbound, time experience, and the relationship between all of them. I'm your host, Kori Nakasue, and I don't know whether to say good afternoon or good evening because it's gonna feel like nighttime anyway in about half an hour. I'm gonna try good evening. Good evening. I'm freezing. I also want to say thank you to everyone who came out to the Solstice event at Opus 40 yesterday and visited with me and who had, I had really interesting conversations yesterday with all of you who got readings, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, it was freezing my butt off, and from what I hear, it's going to be even colder this holiday week. Well, we have an astrology-packed show for you today because it's an astrology-packed week. We have some big celestial and therefore earthly events coming up. This week, Jupiter enters Aries and the Sun enters Capricorn, and therefore we're having our winter solstice. We have a new moon in Capricorn and the direct station of Chiron, who's also getting some interesting aspects at the very same time. Venus also makes a nice trine to Uranus this week. And I don't know if I'll have time to go into detail about that one, but just know that this week looks great for relationships taking a surprise turn for the better, especially if you're willing to do a little work and try something different. Especially in the realms of the practical or seemingly ordinary. It looks like if you're willing to shake up your structures and foundations, you'll get a sweet surprise. I'm also going to dip into the astrology of the following week because we're taking Christmas Day off. The week of the 25th is relatively quiet with one big event, Mercury's station retrograde. I will definitely look deeper into that one. We will be back on New Year's Day with a special New Year's show. And because this week is a new moon week, we'll squeeze in some Capricorn tunes between all this info so you can process or dance or cook dinner or wrap presents, whatever it is you're doing. So, let's get this started, the astro weather. I want to open with tomorrow's astrology, tomorrow being the 19th, which is quiet compared to the louder events of the week. But I think it's really important, and it gives a tender spot to the more in-your-face astrology of the week. So tomorrow, on the 19th, Venus in Capricorn squares Chiron in Aries, and Mars in Gemini sextiles that same Chiron in Aries. And both of these things happen as Chiron is preparing to station direct. So again, a stationing planet is a planet that is appearing to come to a complete standstill before it shifts direction. So Chiron's been retrograde for a while. It's about to station direct. Chiron actually stations direct on the 23rd, but it's effectively at a standstill right now. Chiron is an asteroid that a lot of astrologers use and give as much weight to as you would a planet. And I don't tend to fold it into a reading unless there's something extraordinary happening with it. And Chiron really jumped out at me this week. When we work with Chiron, we're working with issues of wounding and healing and teaching. In Aries, we are looking at the wounds and lessons that have to do with individuation, self-assertion, and acting on your own behalf. with a square from Venus and sextile from Mars during its station, I see us grappling with some old hurts surrounding feelings of rejection or not fitting in. Venus in Capricorn can be very, I'll love you if you're normal, or I'll love you if you're serious. I'll love you if you're playing the long game, or I'll love you if you behave in socially acceptable ways. And Chiron in Aries really just wants to do their own thing when they feel like it, how they feel like it, and be loved for that. These things tend to come up around the holidays. Capricorn, which is the season we're heading into, is one of the family-oriented signs, and it speaks to tradition. If you find some tension here, there is help from that Mars aspect, that sextile. This points to being able to find the words to articulate what's bothering you and the ability to detach from old hurts so that you can communicate effectively and air things out, move things around, kind of destabilize some feelings that you may have felt locked into. And that airing out really speaks to the Gemini placement of Mars. So there's an opportunity to do that. It's really hard to communicate when we're blinded by hurt or rage. And I do understand that rage is sometimes a perfectly appropriate response to some things, but not very helpful if you're actually trying to work through something, especially with another person. So a little sensitivity this week and detachment will go a long way, and that's available. What happens if you take a beat before you assume that someone's behavior is wrong or intentionally hurtful? What happens if you assume instead that they don't know any better or they're just doing the best that they can? Whether that's true or not, it's from that place that you can have a constructive conversation, maybe even healing, as we are dealing with Chiron. So that's a subtlety, but an important subtlety that perfects tomorrow. So, okay, now let's bring in the big transits. And first up, there's Jupiter entering Aries on the 20th. And this is a blast. This is a burst. It's a rocket. Also, Jupiter's going to blow through Aries in about 5 months. So we really want to jump on this runaway train, or if I'm sticking with the rocket metaphor, you know, you want to grab onto this rocket that's taking off. If Jupiter expands everything it touches, we're expanding our initiative, we're increasing the speed, we're upping our boldness, our daring, and our courage. A transit like this could finally give us the confidence to launch a whole new project or say or do the things we've been afraid to, and give us the energy to take on challenges. Jupiter in Aries could also expand our bravado, recklessness, competitiveness, rage, and impulsivity. I think a lot of people are going to benefit from this, and I also think it's going to mess some people up. Aries, by nature, already tends to leap before it looks. So if we turn up the volume on this tendency to shoot now and ask questions later, we could be looking at a lot of regret by the time Jupiter moves into Taurus. And that happens in May. However, If you've been plagued by a lack of confidence or feeling stuck or worrying about what other people think, this could be just the jet fuel you need to take action. This Jupiter in Aries figures strongly into the winter solstice chart and the new moon. So let's dive into that. So the sun enters Capricorn on December 21st and thus marks winter solstice in the northern hemisphere. While the beginning of summer marks the longest day of the year, the winter solstice brings the shortest day and longest night. The reason for the different seasons is that while the Earth revolves around the sun, it also spins on its axis, which is tilted some 23-ish degrees. And because of this tilt, the northern hemisphere receives less direct sunlight, and the southern hemisphere receives more, and vice versa, depending on the season. And starting tomorrow, we begin to incrementally get more and more daylight. And it's this promise of more light that so many traditions have been built upon. In many pre-Christian cultures, December was considered the most dreaded time of the year, when the lack of heat and light spelt danger, and the cold was stark, and the darkness seemed like it would last forever. So the winter solstice gave rise to many symbols, ancient myths, and religious beliefs over the centuries. For instance, to beat the ancient winter blues, in Rome, they celebrated at the feast of Saturnalia, of course, named after Saturn, who rules the sign of Capricorn. In pre-Christian Britain, the end of December centered around the pagan Yule log in a fiery display to warm the heart during a cold and dreary winter. With the advent of Christianity, a similar response to winter, the winter doldrums, was a celebration of Christmas by cultures around the world, complete with twinkling lights, holiday feasts, and lively festivals. So during your celebrations this year, maybe light a few extra candles. And speaking of candles, I think today is the first day of Hanukkah, another one of these winter celebrations. Think about light and kind of use this as a prompt to heighten your awareness of the slow and steady way the light builds until we get to the summer solstice. Another thing to keep in mind during solstice is there's nothing wrong with the dark. All of these celebrations are about the return of light and getting very excited about that. But much like our eclipses teach us, there's great power in the dark. The dark is where we can meet ourselves most completely. And being able to do that holds tremendous power. But back to the astrology, when the sun enters Capricorn and we get our solstice, it forms a square aspect with that Jupiter who just entered Aries. And this spells turbocharged ambition, for better or worse. Tension between my impulses and what's expected of me, and tension between my need to solidify and my need to expand. Squares are incredibly creative because of this tension. It forces an action. So the question here would be, how can we satisfy our need for an instant discharge of energy and our need to build slowly? How do we birth new things and acknowledge the history that's in the fabric that those new things are going to come from? We get a new moon in Capricorn on the 23rd. This new moon is fantastic to work with if you're at the beginning of a project or relationship or way of being that you want to endure, something that's going to stand the test of time and be foundational. This new moon is also getting that square from Jupiter, so whatever you begin during this cycle is going to get a lot of extra energy. We can think of, you know, this Jupiter transit to everything that's happening in Capricorn, like adding some like miracle grow onto whatever it is you're starting. This could really help get something big off the ground, handled well. But this could also create some overconfidence and impatience with something that actually needs a slower start. But this is definitely some good building material to work with. Moving on to the following week, the biggest news for the week of the 25th is Mercury's station retrograde. It's in the sign of Capricorn, and that perfects on the 29th. The notable thing about this is that within hours of its station, it conjuncts Venus in Capricorn. So I talked a little bit about that, about what Venus in Capricorn might be like. And so in other words, right when Mercury comes to a dead stop, it's like Venus comes along and gives it a big hug. So we have a situation here where Mercury is very focused on something. Mercury in Capricorn is pragmatic and ambitious in its communication and mentality. It speaks to mulling something over. It speaks to sobriety, a very sober mind, sobering information. And then along comes Venus with the hug. This would represent serious thought about relationship, serious conversation about commitment and planning, and where do you see this going? What's the 5-year plan? But also these types of things not being boring. These types of things that we think of like as a buzzkill actually being kind of hot. Like, oh yeah, let's talk about investing some money together. Let's sit down and make that 5-year plan. Oh baby. So that's another aspect of Venus in Capricorn. And then of course, during its 3-week retrograde, continuing the conversation, considering the possibilities and the consequences. The same goes for artistic and financial projects. Where is this going? Is this secure? What's the end goal? And since there's such strong Capricorn energy going on for the next couple of weeks, we're going to head into some Capricorn 101 to help orient you to the new season. So, off the top of my head, the first thing that comes to mind with Capricorn is time. It's all about time. It places great stake in lineage, origin, and precedent to dictate the way we succeed in the future. It likes to canonize and feel its gravity. It understands better than anything else that time is the key ingredient in fruition, maturation, and mastery. So there's like a cumulative and culminating quality to Capricorn. And there's simply no getting around it. Time is the architecture we hang our reality on. Yeah, like ideas, feelings, inspirations, they can be, you know, instantaneous. But without time and effort, nothing of concrete form can materialize. Capricorn also represents our foundations. What are we building our more sophisticated structures on? Without a solid foundation, our loftiest aspirations can result in unsustainable projects, relationships, and other endeavors. It's the reality of needing to crawl before you can walk and needing to learn how to walk before you can run. It represents steps that cannot be skipped. And in the world of Capricorn, there are actually like demerits or punishments for cutting corners. The world of Capricorn is where all rewards and losses are earned. Yeah, for a free ride, go and see Jupiter. Saturn also rules the sign of Capricorn, as I alluded to before. And it's often referred to as the astrologer's best friend, because when we follow the Saturn cycle, we can reliably see the manifestation of events and concrete turning points that are unmistakable. Saturn's job is to crystallize and harden. Therefore, it rules the skeletal system. It rules the bones, the teeth. It also rules the skin. But the whole skin Capricorn thing is in reference to Capricorn and Saturn being boundaries and barriers, and I'll get to that a little later. Capricorn also represents the knees, which are important in one of the major actions of Capricorn, which is climbing. So in this, you know, if we're thinking about the action of climbing, we're including things like the social climb, the ladder of success, to ascend, to rise to the top. We're thinking of things like stratum, strata, status, all these ST words, but also rank, ambition, goals, achievement, mastery, grades, levels, tests, hierarchies. And the work it takes, almost, you know, the Capricorn work is a little different than Virgo work. In Capricorn, it's the work it takes to achieve, accomplish, and ascend. The things, so Capricorn also represents the things at the top, the people at the top, like the boss, the authority, the master, the father figure. Yes, Capricorn is like big daddy energy. And yes, it's a patriarchal sign. The patriarchy exists. I don't think the patriarchy is bad in and of itself, but it is our fetishization of it and our misplaced trust in some of those systems and values that can be very harmful. Everything in this world is pretty neutral on its own, but when we give these things and ideas power by embodying them, and especially if we do it unconsciously, we usually get into some trouble. And then we start thinking we need to like abolish the thing or collapse the thing, whatever it is, when we really need to find a different way to be in relationship with it. Even if it's not being in relationship with it, in a conscious manner. And I really just wanted to put that out there because it's pretty fashionable right now to hate on Capricorn because of its symbolism of patriarchy. And I just want to say that Capricorn is not the villain here. It's not the problem. Capricorn is pretty awesome. So we're talking about the thing, the boundary, which is the thing that keeps things separate. It divides things up. Things don't get to blend together. And so when we think of boundaries, we're pulling in other Capricorn ideas like limitations, rules, earthbound 3D reality, consensus reality, constriction, contraction, conservation, definition, shape, form, contour, contrast, structure, regulations, standards, materiality, the five senses, as opposed to the 30 senses I think we actually have, the sensual, barriers, responsibilities, obligations, commitments, containers, and the idea of gatekeeping, keeping something out or protecting something that's inside, where we get the signification of skin being a very Capricorn type of entity. So during Capricorn season, if we're thinking in an embodied manner, we're really wanting to take care of our bones and our skin so we can keep things separate, but, you know, softly, barrier instead of wall, boundary instead of wall, and our the structure that we hang on, that all of our meat and viscera is encapsulated by. So some things to think about from a body perspective as we head into Capricorn. Well, that's it for today. I hope that sheds some light. Aha, get it? A little solstice joke. On the next couple of weeks, I wish everyone a peaceful, joyous, and healthy holiday season, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks to ring in the new year. Take care, everyone. See you next time.
The Cosmic Dispatch is a weekly show that uses astrology as a catalyst for conversations with people from all walks of life. An exercise in making astrology an accessible part of your week. You can find out more about my work at www.astrologybycori.com.